Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide for Monday, January 30. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, did the stimulus cause inflation? Well, there's a remarkable correlation between the current bout of inflation and those stimulus checks that we all received a couple of years ago. What makes this so critical and timely is that the Federal Reserve will meet this week to determine our next interest rate setting, and their decision will be based, at least in part, on where this inflation came from. Now, Wall Street is convinced that once again the Fed will raise interest rates, and each time the Fed does raise rates, they repress the economy. So this nearly year-long campaign toward higher interest rates has suppressed economic activity at a time when we are particularly vulnerable to an economic slowdown or recession. What if raising interest rates right now is the wrong action for the Fed to take? That this is not traditional financial overheating and excess demand? What if these government stimulus programs caused current inflation? That's my thesis. Now, before we begin, a couple of ground rules. First, we'll use the Fed's favorite measure of inflation, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. We can find this measure in the rise in prices, and inflation, if you will, in the GDP report released last week. Let's not quibble here on this particular reading for inflation. It is what it is. The PCE index hit a high last June of nearly 7%, and in this latest report, came in at a 5% annual inflation rate. And the PCE index is the measure of inflation that the Fed will use to set interest rates. Now, my next point is a subtle one, but it's extremely important, and it has to do with the way that we view this inflation index. Most of us have seen the rise in inflation as presented in our first chart. It shows that inflation is constantly rising, with the left side much lower than the right side of the chart. So that must mean that inflation is getting worse and worse, right? Well, not really. In investing, we call this kind of a chart a mountain chart, and in one sense, it does show the compounding effect of inflation over time. For instance, it shows that a $2015 dollar is worth more than a $2023 dollar because the $2023 dollar is reduced by inflation. Unfortunately, inflation's a given in our economy. Inflation is always and forever eating away at our purchasing power. We have a systemic problem with inflation, but that's not the Fed's concern today, and it's different from where we're addressing things. The Fed is concerned with the rate of change in inflation. The Fed has repeatedly said that they would be delighted if inflation was at an annual rate of just 2%. They've made that their price target. So going back to our chart, we will always see the left side of the chart lower than the right side. Unfortunately, there is always going to be inflation in our system. We and the Fed would like to see the acceleration in current inflation slow. In other words, we're looking for a decline in the rate of change in inflation. So let's take a look at another chart. It is a chart that shows inflation's rate of change quarter by quarter. However, before we look at that chart, let me remind you that we all received those stimulus checks. The IRS directly deposited stimulus checks into taxpayer bank accounts beginning in April of 2020. Stimulus 1 totaled $1.9 trillion. The second stimulus check hit bank accounts beginning in December of 2020 and took a couple of months to complete this stimulus package. In total, $900 billion was distributed. Finally, the IRS sent out a third and final stimulus in March of 2021. Total distribution in this package was $1.9 trillion. So in total, IRS and Treasury sent nearly $5 trillion directly to taxpayers around the country. That's a $5 trillion flood of cash into an economy that each year has a total income of only a little over $20 trillion. All those extra dollars have had a tremendous impact on prices. So that was 3 tranches of stimulus beginning in April of 2020, then December, and finally March of 2021. So now let's look at our second chart, taking into consideration that there's a lag time between the beginning of IRS distribution and the eventual hitting of cash in your account. And there may also have been other delays between you receiving funds and actually spending the money. Now, this new chart shows the rate of change from the month before. Note, tremendous change in Q3 of 2020. Suddenly, inflation skyrocketed. Until then, we saw no higher change quarter to quarter than 1%. You can go back for years and years before and see that inflation never increased by more than 1% for any quarter. But suddenly, in that third quarter of 2020, just as we begin spending the stimulus checks, more than ever, inflation roars ahead by 4%, a perfect correlation with those first stimulus checks. Again, in the first quarter of 2021, we see another big jump in inflation coming at 2.5 times the average rate. Again, a perfect correlation with those second stimulus checks, which went out beginning in late December of the year before. The final jump in inflation came in the second quarter of 2021. And again, it correlates with the stimulus checks sent out beginning in March of 2021. Since all this activity, inflation has returned to its average rate of increase at 1% or less per quarter, with a slight deviation in the Q1 of last year. That is, until we reach the third quarter of 2022. Then, the rate of increase in inflation drops through the floor. In one of the most significant declines ever, outside of a major recession or depression, the rate of change in inflation declined by nearly 4%. And this latest quarter, just reported in the latest GDP report, shows inflation is down by more than 1.5% for the quarter. In other words, inflation is dropping like a stone. So let's sum all this up. That first look of inflation, the mountain chart, is like the odometer on your car. It tells how far you've gone, how many miles you've traveled to reach your destination. It's a handy tool, but it is limited. The second chart, the rate of change in inflation, is like your car's speedometer. It's the primary instrument you use when driving. You know, for instance, that you're coming to a stop as the speedometer approaches zero. Today, we know that the inflation speedometer is slowing and slowing rapidly. Soon, we will be coming to a stop in inflation, at least below the Fed's 2% target rate, with the result of a reduction in economic activity and the risk of a real recession. And that's Value Side for Monday, January 30. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. Value Side is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.